So before I delve into what I prepared for this morning, I want to stand before you and take this opportunity, although too late, I should have done this much sooner, but to stand before you and thank you, those of you that participated in this amazing bench behind me. As most of you know, I'm the director of Lutheran Advocacy Ministry here in New Mexico, and as a part of our Synod Assembly this year, the pews from our Lutheran Center in Denver, the number that were taken out in congregations, grabbed them and could flip them and then designate whatever they wanted the money to go to in the auction at the Synod Assembly. And All Saints, I think through Shelley, grabbed a bench, and through numerous people here in the congregation who helped sand it and paint it, and of course, oh goodness gracious, Patty Krueger, who created this amazing painting. This was auctioned at the, you all gathered funds together and wanted to keep the bench, and it was the highest amount raised of any of the 13 or 14 benches that were flipped. Over $1,200 was raised by this congregation to support Lutheran Advocacy Ministry of New Mexico. And I want to thank all of you for that, and especially those that contributed those extra funds and who participated in creating this bench. And it's nice to sit on it occasionally. Anyway, I'm going to move this mic just a little bit so it's not like right in my face. And hopefully you can still hear me. Beloved in Christ, grace to you and peace in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd be willing to bet that the creation story is, if not the most familiar Bible story to each of you, it's probably in the top two or three. And indeed, it could possibly be the first Bible story you learned as a child. Every Tuesday after school, my mom will remember this, hopefully. Every Tuesday after school at Sandoval Elementary, which is now Corrales Elementary in Corrales, a white-haired grandmotherly Mrs. Juckett and a couple of her friends would be waiting with smiles and their station wagons lined up across the school from the school to take all the kids who wanted to go to an afternoon program at her house called Good News. 30 or 35, maybe even more because we didn't believe in seatbelts back then, piled into these station wagons and headed off down Corrales Road to her house, where we would sing church songs and have refreshments and learn Bible stories on this big felt board, and we'd play various games. And our favorites, when she asked which one we wanted her to share, was often from, well, they were always from the Old Testament, and in particular, it was often the creation story. So we knew it well, and we loved the vivid descriptions, the pictures, and the grandeur of it all. And we knew that God had created everything, including the first humans, Adam and Eve, and that in God's eyes, everything that God had created was good. When Hannah was born, one of the first books we bought her and read to her regularly was a wonderful children's Bible, and the creation story in that Bible is indeed one of my all-time favorite versions for the beautiful and unique ways that it tells the story and how it emphasizes over and over the goodness in creation and in Adam and Eve, and for its emphasis in human beings being created in God's image, and for God's unlimited and unending love for all. As we read and responded together the creation story from Genesis 1 a few minutes ago, I wondered what thoughts and images might have been going through your mind, and maybe they were like some of those that went through my mind as I read and reread this text this week. I recalled memories of learning the story, of course, during Sunday school and Good News, as I've already mentioned, and of reading and teaching the story to Hannah and to numerous Sunday school classes over the years. And I also recalled some of the various ways I've seen the story so beautifully depicted throughout a variety of art forms that I've happened to see, that I've been privileged to see both here in the U.S. and while living in Germany and traveling through Europe. I remembered also, though, the unsettledness that I felt as I worked to resolve the conflict between the biblical creation story to that of creation as we know through modern science. So helpful in this was, through my own studies in college, learning of the oral tradition of the Old Testament, and that the point of the story, the Old Testament stories, isn't in the details, but it's in the point of the story, and therefore that however the earth was created, God created it. I also found myself feeling uncomfortable with the words dominion over and subdue it, as I considered maybe as we as Christians have taken them far too literally or out of context, as we haven't practiced restraint and we face an ever-increasing threat to climate change to our world. In so many ways, we've failed to be good stewards of the earth, and we've failed to see that dominion is not dominance over creation, but living in right relation with creation. As we are amid our fall financial commitment campaign, what I share with you this morning are two key questions that can be drawn from the creation story that I wrestled with this week. First, what is the meaning and what are the implications of being created in God's image? And second, what is the importance and the impact of being in the real presence of God? If we're honest with ourselves, and I don't think I'm alone in saying this, that in one form or another, I and maybe you have wrestled with what role image plays in our lives. Our image, that which is portrayed to and seen by those around us, and our concern for projecting the very best image that we can possibly put forward, or the image that is most important to project in specific settings, can be a huge priority for us, even if we're not aware of it. In my middle and high school years, self-esteem and self-image were so closely tied together. And while I was raised in an environment both at home and here at All Saints that helped me grow in confidence that I was acceptable and loved just as I was, unconditionally, believing that wasn't always easy. So paying attention to my image that others saw around me, that those around me saw, was very important to me. And I'll admit that the concern for my image and whether I was acceptable as a result continued to be at the forefront of my life as it related to others, even moving forward in the years. Placing a priority on what image we portray is even more important to many of us as adults. One simple example is that it's still an issue for adults is simply to look at our friends' social media accounts, most likely Facebook for most of us, but apparently that's not what the younger folks are doing anymore. If we believed all that we see or all that we are put ourselves on Facebook, one would think that we all lead wonderful and amazing lives filled with glorious trips and adventures and perfect pets and perfect kids and perfect gardens and perfect bread baking skills. And that type of content, I'm not thinking of Lee, by the way. That type of content certainly is included in my Facebook and Instagram accounts as well. As an education and youth minister at St. Paul here in Albuquerque in my early adult years, I came across a resource that really became the core pillar of the program that I built at that congregation and did as well for me when I served as an adult here at All Saints, working with youth. And in a nutshell, the resource made clear that the very most important thing that youth are looking for and seeking is simply unconditional acceptance. And that, surprisingly, that's exactly what the church has to offer. And that sets it apart from every other organization that young people could be involved in. And I further realized that it is exactly what I had experienced when I was a child and teen growing up in this very congregation. The list is too many to list the number of adults who made me feel that way in All Saints. As a young child in my teen years, most importantly, of course, the youth volunteers at the time. Again here, this need and desire for unconditional acceptance isn't just a child or teen thing either. It's something that I would argue each one of us here this morning wants as well, whether it's among our friends or from our spouse or from the communities that are important to us, especially our faith community of All Saints. And how and whether this is still a community that lives that is for another conversation, but I encourage you to ponder and mull over that as well. But this morning we're challenged to think about image in an entirely different way when we hear that we, each one of us, is created, all humans, we are all created in the image of God. And I love the way it's written in Hannah's Bible. So God breathed life into Adam, and when they opened their eyes, into Adam and Eve, and when they opened their eyes, the first thing they saw was God's face. And when God saw them, he was like a new dad. You look like me, he said. You're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. God loved them with all of his heart, and they were lovely because he loved them. So the good news is that we can throw out our concern for our self-image, because we can be confident that each one of us portrays the image of God. So what does this mean, as Luther would like to say? I think collectively as a faith community and as individual images of God, we're called this morning through this creation story to reflect on God's care for the entirety of God's creation and for all human community, just as God has done throughout creation's story and continues to do. And in the midst and in the most important of callings, we have an example and a model in Jesus Christ, the quintessential image of God, to lead us as we continue to live this calling. Throughout the Bible, we have an image of God who is constantly building and mending and repairing and creating anew in the world all around us. We do see destruction of all kinds and of all forms, violence and brokenness in our communities and in our families, racism, wars being fought not only in Ukraine but in other parts of the world, hunger locally and in too many places to name across God's creation, destruction and misuse of our environment, so much so that we are on the verge of a radically different world climate, and one that makes me greatly concerned for the world that my daughter Hannah will be living in as an adult. But always in the midst of the destruction is also God's ongoing creation and action, where order is made out of chaos, joy out of sorrow, hope out of loneliness, justice out of pain, and life out of death. And I believe that this happens because of God's unending love for his creation and for each one of us. But also through our prayers, and equally important, through the actions of God's people, like you and I, to include, I just said that, to include you and I. In your home, your family, your own life, in our church, in our community, in our environment, in our entire world, more importantly, the question for each one of us is, how do we live out God's care for this amazing creation in our own lives and in our communities? Genesis 1 lays out the image of God giving to us so that we are able to be givers also. In a stewardship home Bible study years ago that I participated in here at All Saints, a member shared to us that to them that image meant outstretched arms. One to receive from God and one to give to the world. One of my favorite Lutheran historians and sociologists said this: if I acknowledge that God as creator, it occurs to me that all I am and all I have is a gift. If God inspires the mind, sooner or later it occurs to me that what I have is on loan. This has led me to the conclusion that I'm called, that we are all called to share all that I and we have been given, our God-given talents, our time, and our financial resources with others, so that in my own small way and in our own small ways, we can be partners with God in building and mending and repairing and creating in this world and in our communities, our relationships, and in our vocations, and how we care for the environment. The second piece that jumped out to me from the creation story so strongly was the literal presence of God as this world was and continues to be created. And the connection between being in God's presence and how that impacts my life as a reflection of God and my giving of God's gifts to me out into the world. Some of you have heard the saying, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. I've also heard it stated this way: where your heart is, there is your heart. As I reflected on how I am a living image of God and in this world, I began to recognize that my stewardship, as seen in my outstretched arms, has only deepened and grown by being witness to the presence of God in my life and in the world around me. Have you ever felt the presence of God in your life? I've experienced the presence of God in many ways over the years, though at times it wasn't clear to me, and only afterwards, with maybe some time, I did recognize that I had been in the presence of God. This especially was the case when I was younger, but other times it was vividly clear to me at the time. So many times during youth ministry events, both as a young person myself and as an adult working with youth, we would have these amazing mountaintop experiences, whether they were retreats or synod gatherings or national youth gatherings or healing services. I remember God's presence in so many of those. I also remember the very first time I hiked a 14,000-foot peak in Colorado. We hiked for about 10 hours, starting long before the sun came up, to get to this one particular peak in southern Colorado. And as we finally got to the peak and ate our stale sandwiches and ate our warm fruit, and the peak was no larger than this area up here, I remember looking out as far, I was amazed at how far I could see. I could see into Mexico and I could see for I don't know how many miles, but I remember feeling deeply the presence of God and recognizing and truly believing that none of this was created by accident, that God created all that I was witnessing and feeling. I'll also never forget, or I've also felt God's presence in music, as I'm sure you have, whether listening or actively participating. I felt God's presence when Hannah was born and when Hannah was baptized here at this congregation. But I'll also never forget being deeply experiencing God's presence in the hospital room at UNM Hospital's burn unit, as I and the pastors of St. Paul and the doctors and nurses of the burn unit shared in the very last moments of Jeff Durant's life. A member of our high school youth group who had committed suicide by pouring gasoline over himself. And I felt God's presence in my own darkest moments during the struggles of my life as well. And I'm sure you have also. I hope and pray that you felt God's presence in your life. Having been drawn to and in the midst of God's presence through these examples I've shared and through many others that we all have, my faith and my stewardship has grown and is grounded in the witness to God in my life and God's active presence in the world around me. I'm better at receiving from God and actively responding to others as a result. My heart is in being, to the best of my ability, a reflection of God in this world. And I believe, as a faith community, All Saints must be about, and has been about, this as well. The faith in, the experience of, and the inspiration that grows out of the presence of God in our midst. Returning to Martin Marty, he said, anything that enhances church, giving to the church, if it enhances the quest for God and the discernment of a presence where absence reigned, anything of such a nature contributes to stewardship. My friends, we've been living too long in a time of spectator involvement. As an outcome, it's easy to disengage from personal commitment, and this is a reality that need not and cannot continue in this world. We must listen for the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit reminds us to be committed, to live out the Spirit's fruit, to worship God, and to recognize and feel God's presence surrounding us. My prayer for you in the coming days and weeks is the same as it is for me. It is to remember that God looked at everything he made and proclaimed perfect, and it was. And I pray that you remember that you are God's image and that you are therefore called to reflect that image as you live and work in God's presence as healers and co-creators of this world. Amen.